So Dave Pezzo joins us now here from the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, with Kevin Miller on KIDO Talk Radio. Maybe he's going to embrace socialism. Good morning, Dave.
It's good morning, Kevin. Why not?
It's
a great thing to use other people's money for my benefit.
Well, we don't know anything. Apparently, this 35-year-old knows everything. 29-year-old Ocasio Cortez, she knows everything. And first off, as a patriot, as someone who grew up when America was still great and we're working to make it great again, your thoughts when you hear these young people, and by the way, I'm a little worried about you because you do go over to Seattle quite a bit.
I do. No, it's a cool place. It's starting
cool
to rub off on. Oh, yeah, it's a terrible place. I hate Seattle. I really do. I wish my daughter would move back.
You're trying to actively recruit her back.
Yeah, she's getting a little tired of it. I'm pretty sure of that. Yeah.
So back to socialism. Yeah. I mean, when you go on the streets of Seattle and the unwashed masses there.
Kevin, I think it's a function of we don't teach history in school anymore. And I think that the whole mantra of the left has been for decades has ever so slowly brainwashed our kids to the point where they really don't even know history. And history is pretty clear that socialism doesn't work. And I always think of it this way, Kevin. If you don't have any work, you have no worth as a human being. I mean, we're just not wired that way to not work. And therefore, you have a whole society of people that really don't feel great about what they're doing. And this whole idea of having everybody gets some kind of substance amount of money so that then they can pursue their own personal inner greatness. And I just don't think that works for people. I think without work, we don't have any worth. And I just don't see that promoting a great society.
Maybe that's a generational thing because you have, as part of the new Green Deal, everyone's going to get a salary whether you work or you don't want to work.
Right. Right, exactly.
Now, I think you're going to have some people that would happily stay home and play their video games all day.
That is exactly my point, Kevin.
They'd feel good about it.
And they'd why not? Right. And so I really do. I think that people need to have something in their life that they are after. They have to have goals and objectives in life. And otherwise, why get an education if they just are going to feed you?
But then why are they talking about socialism then?
Right. Well, because they don't know, Kevin, and I think that that's really the thing, is that history is right in front of us. It doesn't work. I don't think it's just history, though. I think it's psychology. I think that the idea that people want government and it's a really good thing and that government can dole out all the needs and all the money and that human beings are going to respond well to that. We don't respond well to that. We respond well as in growth and learning and creativity and just vibrancy in general. And
I don't know about
optimism
that.
Optimism and all
that.
Now, you, see,
now
you,
wait a minute. Now, hold on. if you're driving and you're going into work, I mean, who is this guy, Dave Pezzo, talking about vibrancy? I mean, what are you going to start a paint-by-numbers class in a minute here?
If I was doing the selling this paint by numbers kit, I'd be trying to start one, right?
I'm telling you, not a lot. I mean, there are a lot of people that don't like to work. They do it because obviously they have to. But this idea of socialism, let's take you back to a young Pezzo.
Yes.
You're in class. You got that number two pencil.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your trapper keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there and they're talking about the Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, and how the custodian, and look, I love the custodians, makes just as much as the doctor, and there's just no initiative.
Right.
And here we have young people that we've all paid for to educate saying, viva la socialism.
Right. And it's wrong. I mean, just the idea that, you know, like you said, when you are young and you're thinking forward, I couldn't wait to get started. I couldn't wait to find my first job, my second job. I couldn't wait to get moving forward in life.
Well, that's why you're ahead so much. You like to work. The rest of us, do I have to go into work today? That would explain a lot of the tone of this program. However,
actually, that's not true at all of you because you are you obviously work a lot, Kevin. And you are working within your passion, which is a wonderful thing.
Now, I hate it when he outs me on that. I really do.
My point here is this, Kevin. What if when you were 12 years old, we're told you don't have to do anything? We're just going to give you a substance, and then you have a video games in front of you, and look what you're now discovering.
Sure.
You're discovering young ladies that are pretty and attractive, and I don't have to go to work and hang with them. Why would you start working hard to advance your life? Again, I just don't see people doing it. If you don't have to, why would you go to school?
Sure. Okay, let's talk about the Green New Deal here.
Okay.
Oh, and first off, let's get back to this because I have not been showing up for my A game the past few weeks, so let me redeem myself. Now, you fly on Petso-1. You're a man of the world. When you're in Seattle, I know you're meeting with a lot of folks over there, Bill Gates and others. So the idea of taxing the rich, going back to even the bigger tax rates than we had during Reagan, they're talking 90%. You have people,
yeah,
and we'll hopefully get to this, like Elizabeth Warren, Klobuchar, and others. Stick it to people like Dave Petso.
Yeah.
Stick it to you.
Yep.
Why doesn't that work? Hold on. Regardless if it's you or the uber wealthy or whoever, why doesn't that work? We're going to have you pay your fair share because it sure sounds good.
It sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
As long as I'm not you.
Right. That's a perfect plan. It's magic money. It really works economically. It's just magic. Just tax the heck out of people, and they won't react.
Right.
They won't find a tax shelter. They just pay. They'll work hard because,
right,
yeah, why not work hard for everybody else instead of themselves?
Right.
And that's really what happens. That's the absurdity of it. You have an economy that slows down. These folks, look, again, the maximum tax bracket in the United States is higher than most people think is reasonable. Okay?
Yep.
Most people, when polled, think that 25% is the maximum people should pay. Half the population, okay, I want to be precise, 46% of the people pay no income tax.
Ooh.
None. Zero.
It's a good deal if you can get it.
It's a good deal, right? And then the rest of the people pay. But here's the deal. 1% pays something like 38% of all the taxes. 5% pays 60%. Top five. In other words, they're already paying all the bill. Now, if you want to disincentivize that, then you also have people on the lower end going, why would I want to get there? What's the point? What's the point of a raise? What's the point of any of it if you give 90% of it away? The answer is people won't work.
Now, that's a very good point. And it always frustrated me as a young person and a not so young person that when you get a raise and you go, man, I got this raise and everything's rolling, and it'd be like $5 because it was taken up in taxes.
Right, exactly. That didn't really feel like much of a raise, yeah.
So let's get back to this new Green Deal. We're looking at waving a magic wand. We're going to reconstruct every building with carbon-friendly fibers, possibly eliminating carpet, getting rid of fossil fuels, including airplanes, because we're all going to jump on high-speed rails. They're putting a price tag, which is so under, it's $7 trillion, eliminating cow flatulence. We've, by the way, come out as a supporter of supporting cow flatulence on this program.
Do you?
Yes. We will be the cow flatulence program. How dare they? But you really wonder, they just throw these things out. And you have some pretty high prominent folks in Washington, not just the Ocasio-Cortez and others, that are behind this thing. And you really think, I mean, Nancy Pelosi says, yeah, it's a green whatever, and they're for it, even though if they don't know what it is.
Right.
So, from a practical financial point of view, your thoughts?
Well, from a practical perspective, of course, it's absurd. It is absurd. I think that who was it? Schultz even said so. You know, the
Sergeant.
Yes, sorry. Might as well be Sergeant. He has been relegated to the dustbin already,
okay,
because he is apparently going to take all votes from Trump or from the Democrats to give it to.
I do want that. That's a very good segue. We'll get to him. I apologize, but we will get back to Howard Schultz. He's one of your ilks. I mean, you go to Starbucks and have the latte frop days.
I'm not a Starbucks fan, but that's okay. Yes, I get it. But the point is that this is when we look at all of these plans to suddenly change all of the energy, it's not even practical. It's absurd. And the idea that the world's going to end in 12 years, that's absurd. All of these things are influx, and they just make themselves look stupid. So I think that this is probably not bad for Republicans to have the Democratic Party to be pulled so far left. Kevin, it's frightening. Okay, a centrist Democrat doesn't scare me to death, but a leftist does. I mean, socialism, taxes, all these things, taking my freedoms away. That's what socialists want to do. They want more government, which means less freedom. Period. I mean, there's no in between. Like, oh well, there's good freedoms we have, and then the government only gets rid of bad freedoms. Right? It's a bad thing when the government imposes on us, and it's terrible for the economy, to answer your question directly. We all know that.
And we continue the Market Watch with Dave Pezzo, Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So the State of the Union. By the way, thank you for coming to our party.
I enjoyed it. That was really a kick. That
yeah.
was really a kick.
Did you get mobbed by Terry from State College, Pennsylvania?
I did
others?
Not. I did not see Terry. No.
I saw
Tea Party Bob sat with him. That was great.
He was right there with you. I should have announced that you were there and you were ready to defend your beloved markets to any and all comers.
Well, thank you for not doing that. That's great.
Well,
by the way, you owe me a dollar.
I owe you a dollar.
Yeah, you said we bet a dollar that I wouldn't be mobbed when I got there, and I wasn't mobbed.
Yes.
Even you have to admit that.
Well, we always pay our debts. Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. What are you keeping your eyes on locally right now?
Locally, to me, I'm kind of like you, Kevin. I'm a little fussed by the drivers, the aggressive. It's just a little different than it used to be. Even
sure.
A couple years ago, we were driving around talking about that this week, because I drive down Roosevelt basically usually to go to work, and it's different. People don't even stop at the stop signs coming out anymore. They just kind of let go, and it's a real different feel. So for me, it's traffic, it's roads, and I get very frustrated with whenever I'm heading down Americana and get stuck behind a traffic light, right? Because it used to be a nice 4-lane road.
Sure.
Now it's two.
Now
so we have a big giant bike lane.
Imagine if they had put that stadium in there.
I don't know. It's just going to get worse.
Right.
Because we know traffic's going to get worse. And now, but anyway, to me, they didn't widen the road. They just created a bike lane, which meant they got rid of all this stuff. And we spent, I don't know, millions of dollars to build this thing.
Now, if they had elected,
crazy.
If they elected Tommy, those roads would be built by now. our great friend, Dr. Tommy Alquist, we always like to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Tommy Alquist of presidential campaigns, Howard Schultz of Starbucks.
Yes.
You alluded to him. He's been getting beaten on by the libs, saying
yep.
that he's going to ruin the party. On the other hand, you look at Howard Schultz and his message. I was just checking it out. Pretty good when he's talking about not being able to pay for this new Green Deal. He says it's absurd. Medicare
yep.
for Medicaid for all.
No.
He's pretty realistic for
he's a centrist.
Right.
Yeah. Or Democrat. Yeah.
So your thoughts on an independent run?
Yeah, I think it. I don't think he'll run independent. I think that he would actually do very well in the Democratic Party. But he could, and if he did, I think it would. He would take votes from both sides. I think that the Democrats are just don't know, and so they just scream before they think about it. And can you imagine the Republicans getting upset because somebody who's going to, in theory, take votes from them? Did you hear the Republicans getting all wound up about Ross Perot electing Clinton? No.
Now,
it's just part of the deal.
And here's another one. We have a lot of folks that were young or not so young trying to reinvent history
mm-hmm.
when they said, well, you look at the polling and Perot took from both. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Hated George Bush.
Yep.
Did everything he could to ruin him.
Yep.
And remember, Bush, although a flawed candidate, all of a sudden, once Perot got out, he was beating Clinton.
Yep.
And then Perot gets back in, game over. And you could argue the same thing he did to Bob Dole in 96.
Yeah, it's not. It clearly Perot elected Clinton. That is obviously very clear. And anybody that denies it is just denying history. But that's the same thing they do with socialism and raising taxes and making government be the fairness agent. It doesn't work that way. It won't work. It never has. And it's not going to work this time. So we ignore all of history on those things. But the reality on this is that Schultz is going to steal votes from both people, not just from the Democrat. the Democrat, if they're leaning so far to the left, he'll steal them because people want some kind of reasonable solution. But the reality is they very well would have gone on over to Donald Trump because nobody wants Green Deal socialism. Babies that are born and then we're making decisions on how old does a baby get to be before we decide as a parent we can kill him. This is weirdness in our society right now, especially as abundant as we are. I find it very odd. Like we're grasping at straws. We need a it's socialism. We need how can you not have a job now? The economy is exploding. Why do we want to change that?
Indeed. Let's talk locally. You're always watching the big Micron.
Mm-hmm.
Anything going on with there? Have they moved out yet?
They have not. I think you would hear that.
Sure.
Hear about that. Yes, they have not moved out yet. Kevin, they continue to shift as any company that's global, shifting more jobs where they need to be. That happens to be Singapore, less in Boise. But at the same time, there's still lots and lots of jobs here, and this is where the administrative center is. This is where the CEO, the executive suite is. For now,
but,
Kevin.
But the CEO, does he live here? Doesn't
no,
he, live
he doesn't
in
live here. No.
Right. The CEO lives in California, right?
He does, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I know.
Now, it's all about the copy. Dave Petzl joining us. So, Micron, okay, they build chips. What's the big deal? I wonder, are they still the largest private employer in the state?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think by quite a bit, yeah.
Okay, so here we have this, in the middle of nowhere, you have this computer chip manufacturer that just kind of they waved a magic wand and appeared. What's the history of that?
Yeah, oh gosh, Kevin, it started like in an old dentist's office years ago. The Parkinson brothers branched off from Hewlett-Packard and thought they could go make microchips, and they were right. The problem was that lots of people were making microchips at that time, and Micron continued to be running out of money. But they ran into the right people in our valley. They ran into the Simplots, the Yonkeys, the Nobles, and they kept writing checks to keep this company alive. And it is a company that really shouldn't have survived, wouldn't have survived today for sure, because people would say, no, stop writing checks. This isn't working. Go, quit. But these industrialists didn't. They just kept writing checks and keeping the company alive. Eventually it took. They tried to die about three times since, but they're now on very solid footing. So I feel good about their future.
Right. And the idea, though, that they've built this massive facility in Virginia, they've gotten subsidies there. They're continuing to build in California, building in Taiwan now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Chinese tried to get them.
And they're always stealing. Yeah.
And currently, the U.S. attorney, the attorney general, they filed a massive case against the Chinese for trying to steal technology from right here in Idaho.
Yes. Yeah. It's frustrating for them, I'm sure, over there, to try to nail things down, because the Chinese are always trying to steal stuff. And the Chinese would very much like to be able to get into the chip business. It employs a good number of people. It's a high capital business, so they can just write checks and do it. They would like to do it, and the only way they can do it, though, is to catch up by stealing. So that's what
they've been doing that for years.
With everything, as we all know. It's not just this is more serious than people think. I mean, it's not just we're going to copy these headsets over here and make them cheaper. It's way more important than that. These microchips are very, very delicate, very high technology, and are in the military things. They're in your phones. They can spy on you. There's all kinds of things that the Chinese. This is what this Huawei suit is about, or I should say investigation is about, is them putting chips in that spy on people. It's pretty crazy, but it also seems to be very, very true. Something you would almost say is cartoonish, because who is that open about pirating and stealing everything and spying on people in a day and age where we have internet and people can't get away with that? Well, they are, and they do.
Dave Petzl joining us, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. You might have some good news. Senator Rice has introduced a bill where it would make everything hands-free. They tried to do that last year, and that was struck down. The first fine, we write about it at KIDOTalkRadio.com. The first fine is $50. The second fine is $100, then $300. Now, if you hit someone while you're on your phone, like in Oregon and other places, the fines could be doubled. Do you think that would help keep the road safe here?
I don't know, Kevin. It's not. It's a, you know, I see people in Washington State when I'm visiting my daughter. It's pretty serious, and people are making phone calls. They have to. I just think that the technology today, where you're inside of your car, you can be talking, and you aren't using your hands. So I think technology will solve that problem, and at least part of it. Look, teenagers are they make me look focused. You know, they're so ADD. They can't focus anyway. That's why when we were teaching our kids, it was a question of don't have your friends in the car because they're distracting, or the music, turn the radio down, all those things. Now it's telephones, and so it is a real problem. Especially for young drivers. I know you see that at every intersection when somebody won't go. You know they're on the phone, right? They're texting. I get that, but I don't see it as being a big distraction. I don't see laws that you're going to get $50 fine as solving a thing. Not in a world where, honestly, you can't even buy a steak dinner for $50.
I don't know where he's having his steak dinners, folks, but I'd sure like to go there. Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center. Pezzo Financial, we sure appreciate you. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, Kevin, you know, again, it's always negative news. I guess I always want to beat that drum, and I can see the doomsdayers out there shaking their head. But this is a rough patch here for the doom and gloom crowd. We've got really strong economic data that continues. The economy is strong. Period. No comma buts. It's just simply strong. And again, I think we need to just look past all of the negative Nellies out there and just look at what the underlying data is. And it's really good.
Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Catch him every Saturday, 8 to 10, right here on KIDO Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us. Hey, if you have a question, we've got to do it now, okay? Because in the second hour, we're going to be talking taxes. I know it sounds boring, but it's that season. And David Hutchison is a brilliant accountant and will give us a rundown on some of the new tax code. Can't do it all, but I think it's well done. He did a good job, and I think you're going to enjoy some of the information in the second hour. So that's what's going on. So if you have a question, 345-5414 is our number. 580-KIDO. Now, if you also have an email, that's fine. It's dave@pezzofinancial.net. Amazon pulls out of New York. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Isn't it funny how capitalism, no matter what people's belief, comes out? No matter what their fundamental core values are, we don't like the people on the right. We want to move further left. Certainly the tech companies make that very clear, that that's their true objective. But when it comes right down to it, they mean that objective for you and I, not them. And when the left, the extreme left, pushed back, it blew up. As it does everywhere, always, and should be a lesson to all of us about all of capitalism, all free markets. Amazon did the right thing. Their objective is not to push an agenda. Their objective is to figure out how to better deliver products to your doorstep. That's what they're supposed to do, and they're doing a good job of it. It's amazing that politicians can't see simple economics through their own bias. I mean, can you imagine actually standing up and showing your brilliance of turning down $27 billion because they wanted three of it back is in an incentive to be here? I'm not a math major, but that sounds like I just lost $24 billion worth of tax dollars in New York, not including the economic impact, not including cycling through the free markets. In other words, the free markets, not government, but the free markets multiply profits, right? They're taxed, they're cut, they're reinvested. I need some more equipment. And then the equipment company does well. And then the owner of the equipment company goes out and goes to restaurants. And then they, and you get it. You understand why dollars spent in the economy multiply. It's not even just $27 billion. That's just the estimated tax revenue. Just over the next 10 years, only from Amazon, not all the multiplier effect. It's just amazing. It's so amazing when people want to spin out their own narrative. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what the reality is or the it just doesn't matter. And so when we think about this in relation to the markets, not just politics, of course, and we think about that relative to taxes, we think about that relative to corporations and where they're going to locate around the world. Individuals are moving out of New York in droves. They're moving out of California. We know because they're moving here. And we're not even a low-tax state. We're in a high-tax state. So people are moving because they're free to move. And companies are doing that too. But you see, and that's why we if it doesn't fit the narrative, then people make it up. And what I mean by that when we're talking about what's going on with corporations is we stopped them from leaving the United States. Now, that some might for various reasons, a buyout from, you know, who knows, an Irish company or what have you. But the reality is companies aren't looking to do that for tax savings anymore. So why not stay where there's terrific rule of law, where they already have their markets, they've got their factories. We can't prove a negative, right? The economy would have died over the next 20 years. You can't prove that. But we all know it's true. The United States, when we did the new tax bill last year, stopped the massive exodus over the last 20 years, in particularly accelerating over the last 10, to leave the United States and do tax inversions with other countries, as we were the highest tax nation in the world. Only a fool would think that's a good idea and is going to promote companies from being here, is to be taxed to death. But the political narrative continues to stroke that, and it's crazy. We all know that's not true. Now, we can't prove it, but this is one of the reasons that, again, I think that we're missing some of the changes forward. Everybody wants to try to guess the next recession. They'll get it right on their eighth attempt. I mean, it's literally known that economists are wrong almost all the time on recessions. They predict and predict and predict them, and they do happen sometimes. But not as often as they are predicted by any stretch. That's the difficulty. You can't pick it. But I do think as things change, we need to think about what kind of changes there are. What kind of changes will there be that allows us to maybe have a longer economic cycle? Could it be technology? I think. What about inflation? Technology knocks down the cost of everything. I can't believe when you go to a store, I can't believe you can buy a really nice outfit for, $20 for a shirt or $15. How does it get all the way here? To me, you can buy chairs, for a couple hundred bucks. It's an amazing thing. And I know everybody thinks costs are going higher, and they are. In taxes, because government is more and more and more overbearing in our life. We know how much property taxes are right in Boise, right? Conservative Idaho, and how high that is. It's terrible. We also know health care is ballooning out of control, and we know wages are going up a little bit. I consider that good, so I don't know why we have to be too worried about that. But as an employer, yeah, sure, okay, it costs more for really great people. But the cost of so many things are being driven down. It changes that whole dynamic. And so as we're looking at things and we're thinking about stuff, where are companies going to locate? In the United States. Why wouldn't you? Saudi Arabia of natural gas, so if you have to use any energy, why wouldn't you be here? Your costs are going down. Rule of law, they're not just going to take it away from you. At least not yet. And I think this really is one of those things that we can't really measure, because you can't measure a negative. What would have happened if we hadn't done this? But anyway, to me, it's one of those positives we don't talk about enough. We just don't talk about any positives enough. But this was huge. This was big. And as we're in this tumultuous period again, I guess it never ends. We just go from one thing to the next. And now for the next, I don't know how long, until we're so sick of it, we just want to throw up. Immigration stuff. I think we're getting away from the real story. And that's the fundamental story, that America is in better shape than any other country in the world. And that's what's driving this market. That's what's driving this market. Corporate profits are good. Corporations are doing well. And maybe, just maybe, some of these problems are going to get solved. Maybe. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got time to take your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, again, in the second hour, David Hutchison with HH & Associates is going to be, we're doing a recording of some of the changes in the tax code, much more detailed than I thought. I mean, much more extensive, I should say, than I had originally thought. Truly amazing how many changes there were. I cannot believe how much work that was to get these to get this new tax code in place. But great information, and that will be playing in the next hour. So we do have a couple minutes if you want to give us a call. It's 580-KIDO. I was looking at, you know, it's interesting, you look at the volatility and all this, and everybody's babbling about volatility all the time, right? Because you have to babble about the markets. The markets are important to babble about every day. We can't look at them as long-term things, because that's not news. That's not the way news is reported. It's not the flow that we need to sell commercials or eyeball views, which are really, you know, that page, and then we get eyeball paid for the commercials running there. All the advertising goes for everything, right? It makes all this cool stuff free. But it also makes for a really loud, as I say all the time, a really loud, noisy environment that we really are not built to understand. But it does help to reflect and say, this is just a very noisy thing, and politics is noisy. Everything is noisy. It's all loud. It's all bad. It's all scary. And as I mentioned last week, it's sad when you run into this, where people are bullied into products, when seniors are told to, you know, to put all of their money into an equity indexed annuity or something like that. And yes, the products need to be more regulated than they are, but that's the reason why I bring them up all the time. These folks need your help. They need you to pitch in. You know, are all annuities all the time bad? No, they're not. Just most of them. And they're incredibly complex. We ran into a couple of them this week that are just so complex. I mean, they're just really complex. You know, I'll give you an example. We had one particular family had three different ones, and two of them were easy. Get them out of there. They're not doing anything good, right? The costs were literally on one was like 4%, 4% a year. You can't possibly have anything good happening there. So it was 4% a year in internal cost to pay for all of the bells and whistles. That one was easy. But then we get to another one, and it was super expensive. But due to what had happened with the markets and their particularly poor performance in it, the best thing to do was allow that annuity to stay. They're so complex. People don't have a chance of doing it right. They just don't. And they all fall prey to the fact that you can say anything you want if it's a fixed equity indexed annuity. Why can you say anything you want? Because security laws don't apply. So basically, you have only insurance laws, which frankly are impotent. They are. As soon as I see people that are run out of the industry, I'll tell you that I would be the first person saying, now they're doing it, now they're on it, now they're getting it. But there are some things changing. I believe the advertising is going to change in Idaho, that they're going to be reviewing what people can say. I think these are important changes. They're overdue, yes. And they're not enough, absolutely. But it's a start, and they're doing it. And what we need to also do is partner with them and protect our loved ones. We really do. So please do. Again, we just run into it week after week of frighteningly bad behavior. Frightening. And until the laws are tougher and these people are run out of business, it's up to us. So don't let it happen. And then when we get this noisy world and it's all in fear, we make bad decisions. We say, well, why not? You know, yeah, I'll give up a little bit. No, you're giving it all up. There is no such thing as a free lunch. You can't have market participation without market risk. We know that. But what's wrong with having market risk? Well, I don't want to lose it all. Whatever the nonsense is. A, the market's never gone to zero. Not even during the Depression. Not in 2008. All your money didn't go away unless you didn't diversify, put it all in one thing, and it could go away. But markets don't go away. They go down. But unless you bail out at a really silly time, markets have gone up 10% per year for your whole life. Even if you try to dial a little bit of volatility out, you're still talking 7, 8% returns. Goodness gracious. You can't touch that anywhere, and you're not going to get that in an equity indexed annuity. But if we focus on the day-to-day noise, who doesn't want to get scared? It's human nature. And it's human nature for news to scare the socks off of. It sells viewers. It sells eyeballs. We pay attention like a magician to the wrong things. We watch this hand while the other hand's really doing the trick. We got to get away from that and seeing what it is and dialing down the noise. It's hard. It comes at us like a fire hose. But when we're looking at, and I'm sitting here looking at the volatility over the years, almost every year has periods where the market goes down more than 10%, almost every year. Oh, there's a few really low volatility years where it's down 5, 6, 8%. Still, you would think of an 8% drop was unbelievable. And there's just so much you have to be knowing about and thinking about. Because your Apple stock went down 10%, I don't know what to do. What should I do? And we all know the answer, of course, is you do nothing. But it's hard when everybody's yelling at us. So I wish market news wasn't that way, but it is. I wish people really did embrace the idea that market volatility is normal and certain to occur over and over again, and really isn't to be avoided, to be embraced. It is what it is. And then you even get chances to buy at bargains because of it, and only because of it. It's not a bad thing. But what we do, too, is that the news makes it bad because it's noisy, and the sales sharks make you want to run to guarantees because it scares you. All right. Have a great weekend. Enjoy David Hutchison with taxes in the next hour. We'll be back next week.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Money Matters. I'm, of course, Dave Petzo, and I'm here with David Hutchison with HH and Associates. So it's great to have you here, David.
Hey, great. Thanks for having us, Dave.
Obviously, we're right in the heart of the tax season, and it's a brand new tax bill. I mean, the tax bill is huge. And so this is our first look at things. And I kind of want to – I thought this would be a great idea to go through. It's obviously too late to do a lot of tax planning for last year, but it's not too late to learn what's going on so we can be thinking forward to 19.
Right. We can see – we can kind of talk about all the nice tax reform changes we have and how it's going to impact people. But I think – the nervousness is out there. People are coming in early, and I think they're just a little bit anxious how results are really going to turn out.
Right, right. And how are they generally going to turn out? What people? Most people got a tax cut, didn't they?
I that's what I'm experiencing now. You see the news, and they're fighting on both sides and going different directions with it. But as near as I can tell, if you're looking in the 10 to 12% brackets. They're all getting a smaller refund. They're doing a little better, depending upon how they had their withholding. Now, there's a big question mark out there on that because the calculators weren't dialed in for that purpose. So,
then particularly, I hear for the state.
Correct. Yeah. The state just came out with its new W-4, so everybody be aware. Used to be you just filled out the federal W-4. Now you do both, federal and state. If you need information on it, the state's got a great website on it, good instructions. But just be aware, there's no longer this federal W-4, and you do the slash for Idaho to fill out your allowances.
So, gotcha. Good, good.
Kind of moving into that middle, what I call maybe more middle class, the 22 to 24, maybe even to the 32% bracket, you're seeing a lot more of a return because AMT was done away with, right?
Right.
So now you see these people that were paying $6,000 to $20,000 more in taxes every year. They're not paying that anymore.
Because AMT was wiped out.
Well, essentially, they doubled the exemptions and they moved the phase out to $1 million.
Gotcha.
So a lot of them won't be in it that were in it. And then you start to get into the upper brackets, the 35, 37, the high end. What I see there really is a battle to find deductions and not pay additional tax. So they're really, that's where it starts to turn.
The higher brackets, the highest earners in the country, by and large, did not get a tax cut. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah. If we will, the numbers are something that we hear are something like the actual tax cuts, 80% or more that actually got a little bit of a reduction. But that's predominantly on the lower and middle end, correct?
I believe so by what I'm seeing and the adjustments to credits and so forth, the doubling of the standard deduction, to a level where most people weren't itemizing anyway.
Right.
Even though they got rid of the personal exemptions, which, if you don't know, we did, and we're to a standard deduction that was double of what it was last year. But as you move up the ladder, the limitation to the higher earners and the rates that they have to pay at, it just doesn't equal out to them getting a break.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
It's represented in the news that all Trump's buddies are getting a break. I don't believe that. I don't see it in my world.
Yeah, we of course have to talk about taxes with some people that have some pretty high income. We don't do taxes, of course, but we have to keep up on the tax code and obviously work with you in some of those cases. It's a it's just not true. It just but it does. It's a narrative that people are trying to play.
You always look for what's going to benefit you, right?
Right, right.
It's whatever side of the fence. It's really hard to stay on the fence and try to put some common sense to it, and that's where we have the gridlock.
Right.
But it depends what benefits you. And if it benefits you, then that's the side you take. And that's what I see a lot of. It's the other thing that I see out there, Dave, that's really hard, and the questions I begin to ask is, what's really true? Mm. How do I find with social media?
Yep.
I go to my guy or my gal and they tell me one thing. I come in here, you tell me another thing. And so when I hear that, then I turn around and I say, okay, how do I make this the truth for them? So I go back and I present the technical stuff to them to
right.
show them.
Right.
And then they're like, well, why didn't my guy or gal or my neighbor or whatever, why didn't they tell me this? Well, I'm not sure, but it's hard to find the truth out there. It's hard to find what's real, what is really true.
It is hard to. We find that in finance all the time, right? It's just something that every article's negative, every article's doomsday, and everybody's trying to make a name for themselves. We find that there. It's it is interesting you say that with accounting, because we tend to think it's black and white, right? It's the columns are going to line up or they're not. It's why would I be doing that? And I think, of course, it's because people have a political spin. I have a extremely liberal side to my family. And they actually live in Seattle. Big surprise, they would be liberal. Okay, but they cannot believe that they're getting a tax cut. And it's like, you're just going to have to believe what you believe. But A, he's self-employed. B, they live in a zero tax state of Washington. There's no way they aren't, right? They're not high income people. This is a killer. I said, no, you are the poster children for getting a tax cut, but they can't believe it. So I think much of it's politically driven.
No, I agree. It's really hard for me to watch TV anymore, to be honest with you. But I do a lot of reading, and I try to keep up with things, and I try to see both sides because I have clients from both sides of what they believe and what they want to see. But again, it gets down to a lot of times numbers just don't lie.
No, that's exactly. What are you going to say?
So,
right, this is what you paid last year. This is what you're paying this year.
Exactly,
it is. But it's interesting, and we are in such a politically divisive world. And so, let's cut to some of the facts. So when we're talking about the new tax brackets, aren't we also talking about a reduction in capital gains tax for many people because the brackets were increased to keep people at the lower capital gains bracket? I didn't say that well, but.
Well, I know where you're going with it, but the capital gains rates used to be tied to the ordinary brackets. Now they have their own separate bracket regime that says, here's where the 0% is, here's where the 15% is, here's where the 20% is. And that's all based upon the old ordinary brackets.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have that 77-ish threshold that keeps you in that 0%. Bracket.
77,000.
Yes, taxable income.
Taxable, is that just two people in a family, or does that include children? What is that? Just a joint return? 77?
Yeah, that's just a joint.
A joint, 77. So we don't tax the first 77,000 of income.
Capital gain.
Or capital gain income.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, that's a bigger number than it used to be, isn't it?
No, it's been around that threshold. Those numbers didn't change much. I'm not sure that they've seen a point to deal with them. You know, there were so many, as you can kind of tell through, there's all these minor changes to a lot of different sections that kind of, the song doesn't change, the dance changes a little bit,
okay,
so to speak, if that's a good analogy for it.
Okay.
So
capital gain, so overall, there's some pretty significant things. Now, one of the things that strikes me as really significant, because we deal with a lot of business owners, and I'm sure you do too.
Right.
Is this new qualified business income deduction of 20%. That is a pretty big deal in this tax code for business owners, isn't it?
Well, you would think so.
Okay.
And where that came from was everybody said, we got the 21% flat rate for C corporations.
Right.
All those brackets, the personal service corp, all that went away. It went to a flat 21% rate. So what'd they have to say? Everybody's going to jump, want to be a C corp. Right? Get the lower rates. But now they had to look at the flow-through entities, S corporations, partnerships, Schedule C sole proprietorships, single-member LLCs, and they had to say, well, what do we do for them? We've got to do something for them. And what they came up with was this 20% qualified business income deduction. Now, what they did away with was the Section 199, it was that manufacturing deduction where you got 9%, and it was a calculation you would go through. That's gone.
Okay.
So now we're under a new regime that says if you're a trader business, and this goes under the old code section, which has been litigated for years on what's a trader business, but if you have a trader business income, there's the potential now that net income can create a 20% deduction. Now, where does that deduction go, of all places, on the Form 1040?
Okay.
Not as to create adjusted gross income. It's related to taxable income. It's a separate line item.
Mm.
So your taxable income before that deduction is what you're looking at to see if you even qualify for it, because there are limitations.
Yeah.
For example, people like you and I, they actually put financial advisors into this specified service trader business, which means if you make more than $315,000 on a married filing joint return taxable income, you're going to phase out when you get to $415,000, and you're completely out of it after that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So anybody married filing joint that has taxable income before this deduction of $315,000 or less, a single $157,500.
Including capital gains.
Including capital gains.
Yep.
Then you will qualify for that 20% on your business income only.
Gotcha.
It doesn't reduce self-employment income,
mm-hmm.
like for your Schedule Cs. It's ordinary income that it reduces.
Okay.
You get into more complicated rules as you go through the phase out. If you get into the non-specified trades or businesses, which there's 11 defined in the code.
Wow.
If you get outside of that and you go above 415 on a married filing joint and on the other side to 207,000 for the single, then you don't lose it, but there's a whole nother calculation that's got 50% of wages or 25% of wages and 2.5% of your adjusted basis in your assets. That's where you're seeing on the news, and the guidance just didn't get out, and it creates a big nightmare for all of us because it's a strange calculation.
Yes, it is. It is. I understand this stuff, and it's hard to follow. So I guess the point of it is this. They're all as complicated as it is. They're trying to flatten it out so there's not an incentive to change. You go from a S-corp to a C-corp, a self-employed, and then creating a corporation for that.
You're absolutely right. And here's one other thing we all have to look at before you just jump ship. There's a lot of economists out there that have looked at taxable income in that net million dollar range that can't justify the move from a flow through to a C corp. Now, that being said, a C corporation, if it's a small business, can qualify for what they call the IRC 1202 stock.
Okay.
What that means is if you hold that original issue stock, small business stock, for 5 years, upon liquidation or closing down the corporation, 0%, it's
for
excluded.
Capital.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that double taxation starts to, my view is, what you're going to start seeing is people using that loophole in small businesses, because it's quite a high level. It's like $50 million in assets. I mean, it's a pretty high level to qualify. So what I'm venturing, we're going to see is some abuse in, hey, I'm going to be a C corp, get the flat 21%, keep my income in that corp until I'm ready to liquidate and shut down.
And then in 5 years, you pull it out and it's no capital gains.
Correct.
Gotcha. Is it retained earnings?
No.
Okay.
No, it's you redeem all the cash out of the
corporation.
Correct.
Period.
For your stock.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I assume professionals can't do that.
Correct. There's back to our funny tax law.
Yep.
Is there's all these ifs, ands, or buts, and you're absolutely right. Only there's very specified businesses that'll qualify.
Gotcha. Okay, good. All right. Well, we got some other things. Let's just go ahead and take a quick break here, and when we come back, you mentioned AMT going away. Is it? But it's not completely gone, but it's a big deal.
Right.
That people are out of that AMT bracket now, aren't they?
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
We'll talk about that and much more. All right. You are here with a special recording of Money Matters. I'm here with David Hutchison of HH and Associates. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome to a special edition of Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo here with David Hutchison with HH and Associates. David, thank you for taking time out of your busy tax season to come in here and... and enlighten us a little bit of this craziness called the tax code.
It's a pleasure, Dave. I appreciate you having us, invite me in. We try to help where we can. You know, there's a lot of stuff. People are anxious.
Yeah.
And we'll help where we can. You know, if we have a question pop up, you know, be sure to get it to us. We'll try to get it answered for them.
Perfect. That sounds good. And yes, so yeah, why don't we do that, as a matter of fact? What's the best way to have them reach you if they do have a question?
Hey, the best way is call the office. It's 208-229-8100. That's front desk, and ask for David Hutchison, and we'll go from there. My email address and all my contact information, I'm on LinkedIn. We have a website, which is HH and Associates. Type it in. It'll pop up there.
Perfect.
So plenty of ways to get a hold of us.
Excellent. Excellent. Appreciate it. We'll give that number again later in the program today, too. All right. So we've been talking about generally some of the things with the tax bill and that most people are getting a cut,
right?
The wealthy are not, which is just – that's just kind of – or people with high income. This is just generally speaking, this is true of – would be a fair statement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So regardless of what we're seeing on TV, you are here. This is not fake news. This is not politically biased. This is an accountant, okay? These are the numbers,
That's what I'm seeing.
There you go. I want to talk about something that a lot of people are really using or used last year and is certainly out there circulating. And if there's any drawbacks at all to it, I'm sure not seeing it for people that are going to use the standard deduction, that are over age 70, to use their required minimum distributions. To take up to, what, $100,000 out of an IRA, you can just transfer it to a charity.
Correct.
And instead of writing a check to a charity, transfer it out of the IRAs. Is there anything wrong with doing that?
There is not. Quite honestly, I'm surprised it's out there in all over the place as far as actually the taxpayers are bringing it up. People who come and see me talk about it, and it's a lot of outside in the advisors don't recognize that or don't understand it, but it's absolutely the way to go. Because if you think about it, what you're doing is, granted, you don't get the deduction, right, as a charitable deduction, but what you do is all these AGI influenced items, like how Social Security gets taxed and things like that, or how capital gains get taxed, if you reduce your income at the AGI level or the taxable income level, that's a better way to go. It's kind of like when I talk to most people.
Even if you're itemizing is what you're saying.
Correct.
Even if you would get that deduction, you want to go ahead and get it off the front adjusted gross income, right?
Correct. I advise on that all the time. It's the same line of thinking as talking to just a standard person who wants to put into their 401k, and they come in and they say, hey, Dave, how do I save taxes? The biggest bang for your dollar? Do a deferral through your 401k. Max it out.
Right, right. And it comes off up front. You know, what else that's good for is going to be, of course, the Medicare tax.
Correct.
I'm sorry, that's not actually a tax. They don't count that as a tax because you don't want to say you raise taxes as a congressman, but it's a tax because you're going to pay one, two, or three times the regular Medicare premium. So depending on income.
Yeah.
It's and if we can pull it down, then that's a good – yeah. So absolutely. Don't forget about that and ask your accountant about that, because there is no drawback to that at all.
Yeah, I have clients that in particular are in a position, lucky enough, over how they planned out their retirement strategy, that they were actually taking the RMDs and turning around and putting it back into their taxable account, paying tax on it at a higher rate. And when you see that, you go, well, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at something. Now, some are not so inclined to do so, which is fine.
Right.
But you might want to take a look at it. It could save you some bucks.
It can. And there's, I guess what we're saying is, if you are going to give, then give this way.
Correct.
Yep. If you're not going to, we're not telling you, you have to go, you know, not gun to a head. It's not like it's free money. You're not going to save 100%. You're still paying tax. You know, tax is not 100% yet.
Right.
Although we hear that there's some movement in this country to get close to that. It's something that you still, if you're giving, this is a better way of doing it. So slow down. Don't just write checks. Think it through. It's like we've talked in past programs, right, in past years, about looking for appreciated stock or appreciated assets to give away.
Right, and that's still available as well.
Absolutely. So. But again, that way you can avoid the capital gains. If you're talking about a substantial gift, we're not talking about, let's get realistic. You don't want to have $100 going to the Girl Scouts.
Right.
On a qualified charitable deduction. But if you're doing something substantial, church or charity, either one.
Exactly.
Makes sense. Yep. Very good. Very good. All right. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here and get back on track then. And our number, that was a habit because we're recording. Don't call. Don't call. All right, so this is a recording. And again, I'm here with David Hutchison with HH & Associates talking about taxes. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome to a special edition of Money Matters. Of course, I'm Dave Petzo, and I'm here with David Hutchison. And he is with HH & Associates. Full disclosure, my accountant is David. And really, I guess I'm just going to say this. I am just super impressed with how proactive you guys are. You just really are. You're out in front of things. You send us articles so we can stay in front of the tax things for clients. But also personally, personally is no question that you're up on, have helped me on a personal level. And I'm pretty savvy on taxes. So thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate it because, it's one of the things we strive to do. And I've always, the philosophy is do good business. And, don't just go out there and preach it, say I do it, do it.
Right.
And what I'm finding is it's a cliche because there's a lot of, you go out to every accounting firm, tax prep firm, they'll say the same thing. And what's really hard is to distinguish yourself. And we really do it, and we appreciate the feedback and that people really appreciate that help. And we're glad to have you and thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome, and thank you. I mean it. It's just nice because I've said this many times on air before. Accounting in general, and I don't want to be offensive to this because it's not true of all people. It certainly isn't true of you. But in general, it's just tax preparation, meaning after the fact, there's no proactive. We run into people who have their taxes they've been giving to a church or a charity for years, substantial amounts.
Right.
And there's never a discussion of giving away appreciated property, or in this case, let's do it out of an IRA with a qualified deduction, things like that. It's just that isn't proactive. You guys are, and so when you find that, that's a good accounting firm. So I just wanted to mention that to people when they're thinking about it. Is their accountant being proactive or not?
Sure, absolutely.
It's not an all or none. I get that, but most of them are not. They prepare, you get the bill, and that's fine. They're doing that part of it, but be aware of what accounting really is.
Yeah, it's hard. It takes a lot of effort. I read a lot. I try to go to a lot of CPE and keep up with things, especially this new law. We do it at least 2 hours a month with all the new changes, and that's really still not enough to keep up. So I enjoy hearing my competitors and their angles, too, and hey, that's good, or that'll work, and I need to be implementing it. But we take it to action.
Yes.
We want to be moving forward, want to make sure. But, Dave, let's be honest, there's sometimes that silver bullet just doesn't exist.
Right.
And you are where you are, and there's not a lot you can do. But for the most part, if you want to get complicated and you want to complicate your life, the tax code's the first place to look.
That's true. And it is. I think that people can spend way too much energy trying to drive their tax bracket to zero instead of and complicate their life in multitude of ways. But let's talk about some of this because this new tax code does give some interesting opportunities to people that didn't have opportunities before. And we talked about the 20% business deduction for many, many small businesses out there. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. But they also have something called statutory employees now. And that is something that we can look at in hindsight for last year. Can you check that box? How many people are going to be able to qualify for that?
There's a fair amount. I mean, full-time life insurance salesman, you know, the salesman type out on the road, truck drivers, for some reason it's codified and specifically exempts or disregards people who drive milk trucks. I'm not quite sure where that came
They'd
from.
They'd had a bad lobbyist, that's a very bad lobbyist.
The milk industry should be ashamed of itself.
But what you're looking at there is you get a W-2, and if you look on your W-2s, everybody has this box. It's got STAT employee. And when that box can be marked, what happens is instead of reporting that as ordinary income on page one like you normally do, mm-hmm. you get to put that on your Schedule C and mark a box, which allows you to take deductions that don't ever hit in itemized deductions under that old miscellaneous 2% where you got limited
yes.
on being able to deduct it. Another caveat to that is since the Social Security and Medicare is withheld by the employer, mm-hmm. the net income from that is not subject to self-employment tax, just ordinary income tax.
Good, good. So that's something that actually you would hit that box if you qualify for 18.
Correct.
Even though we're sitting here talking about, because there's very little you can do once the calendar drops back.
Exactly.
And, you know, we all know you can make deductions for your IRAs and SEPs and things like that up until April 15th. But this is one that if you are independent, or salespersons, truck drivers, stuff like that, you need to check into that.
You really do. You really need to look at it and make sure, because there could have been an error. You know, I've seen this a lot of times too. That box never got marked when it should have. And just inquiring about it now, even though it should have been marked 10 years running, you may be able to get it done now and save some tax dollars.
Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. Now, at what income level do people need to go in and be considering? Not something, I don't mean to make it more complicated or just say more complicated structure, but when should people, if they're in, you know, they're self-employed, meaning they're just a sole proprietor and they're chugging along and writing off their expenses and, you know, and maybe they're making $100,000. I don't think you need to create corporations and other entities and necessarily go do a whole lot of pre-tax planning.
Right.
But at what level, Dave, do you think that we need to be? You would tell somebody, you know, I think that there's some things you need to consider here.
I've seen this a lot. We have a lot of small business. And when you know, it used to be I could take a $30,000 salary. I jumped to an S-Corp, and I can take these distributions at $150,000. I'm saving a ton of Social Security tax.
Right.
Well, we left out one thing, reasonable compensation.
Right.
And you're the only one working in the business. How are you going to generate that distribution as a return? It's very difficult.
Yeah.
So
that'd be a tough conversation with the IRS.
Well, it is. And they have filters now to kind of weed this out. But if you want to complicate your life, what I start to look at is I say, okay, I understand the cost, administrative costs. You got to go pay an attorney to form a corporation. You got to pay me to do another tax return. You got this added administrative burden on paying payroll taxes, W-2s, 941s, quarterly SUTA. So when does that make sense? To me, I always talk to people and say, if you're netting $100,000, it doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
You're not really going to save anything. Where it starts to make sense to me is when you're netting consistently way more than the threshold at the Social Security level, being that $130,000 range.
Okay.
If you're hitting that and above, then that to me is when you start looking at these other avenues and complicating your life. Otherwise, I just don't think giving up that simplicity, flexibility saves you any money at all. Okay. Either pay it to Uncle Sam or you pay it to attorneys and accountants.
And you make your life more complicated.
And you make it more complicated.
As you know, you've done my taxes enough years now that, and it hasn't been forever, but it's slowly getting better. It's gone from 2 inches to only about an inch and a half now. And only filing in 5 states instead of 12.
Right.
It's I just will speak to personal experience. Simplicity is it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. And to have a simpler life, I would pay a little bit more.
And
if it's a lot more, I'm interested. but simpler is better. And getting letters every year from 12 different states that you didn't pay them the right amount. Should we pay this? Should you pay that? And by the time you're done consulting with you about is this one worth paying or not, maybe you're not. You just pay them.
Exactly.
It is a pain. And so getting complicated isn't so cool.
And the only thing that really comes out that I've seen a lot more in this time frame has been people have just – I tell them to turn the news off because they get mad at how their money's being spent.
True.
And I understand it. I mean, we all do, but let's not make an emotional decision on, you know, complicating our life and actually paying more than we need to.
You know, I think of this every quarter and certainly every April 15th. When I write a check, that if everybody had a check to write once per year instead of just sneaking it out of their paycheck, there would be a revolt.
I agree. I think there would be.
There's just not enough quarterly filers out there. That's for sure. All right. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, let's talk some more taxes. Okay. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo here with David Hutchison with HH & Associates. Thanks for tuning in. Hello, and welcome to this special edition of Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo, and I'm here with David Hutchison and with HH & Associates. So, David, I promised we'd give your phone number, or at least kind of general. Just again, HH Associates. Probably go to the website. You can either call, send a note if people have questions.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our main line is 208-229-8100, and just ask for David. We have our website, LinkedIn. We're on Facebook. You can get our email addresses, all our contact information, easy to find, and we'd be happy to answer questions.
Terrific. Yeah, and that's nice of you. So this is going to be an interesting year for people, no doubt.
Right.
No doubt. So let's go ahead and bottom line this again, because I kind of breezed through this as if it was an opinion, another thing, because everybody's arguing politically about whether the sky is blue.
Right.
And so, again, I'm going to make a couple statements here to an accountant who's not biased in any way, shape, or form, that 80 or 90% of the people that pay taxes are getting a tax cut. And here's a shocker. If you didn't pay taxes before, you won't.
Right.
Meaning, I guess you didn't qualify for a cut. You got robbed because you weren't paying before.
Right.
And you're not going to pay now. So the tax code didn't include any new taxpayers, correct?
Correct.
And finally, 46 to 48% of Americans do not pay any income tax. Is that
I think that's a fair statement.
It's a lot of people. And so why aren't they paying any income tax at all?
It's the level.
Okay.
I mean, look at where we're at on the standard deduction.
Mm-hmm.
And our medium wage, again, that's probably a discussion at the level of, you know, what is a good minimum wage and where should we be and those kinds of things. A lot of people also, it's not that they're not necessarily paying tax, but they're also at such low rates that, you know, 10% on $50,000 is a lot different than 35% on $1 million.
Right.
So I think that's probably more of it is just where we are in the cycle of level of income and deductions and so forth that most people, you know, are allowed and where they are in the income brackets, so to speak. See, it always breaks down to how much income are you earning.
Right.
And I think that's why you see the struggles with the states trying to raise that minimum wage so much. Is that there, in particular, Idaho, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of our surrounding states have gone to some pretty large numbers.
Yeah, $15 in Seattle.
Yeah. So,
although, even believe it or not, the Seattle Times did a study, although the Seattle Times got in a lot of trouble locally for doing it, found that it was hurting business and hurting the lowest level employees because they weren't hiring.
Yeah.
As it turned out, it was a very interesting, or the people who had worked their way to $15 and higher were finding that their compensation was being capped because overall compensation, the company could only afford a little bit. Anyway, it's a very interesting debate.
Well, it is. And one article I read from Forbes, which I'll just throw out here for you, is if you jump back to the good old days, the 40s and 50s.
The and good old days.
In terms of...
I know what you mean. I laugh about it all the time. Everybody thinks it was so good back then.
Well, but it really wasn't. You start to read some of these articles, and in particular it's about Bing Crosby and how much money he made and how those... I think the income tax rate at that level was 91%. Mm-hmm. There was actually one actor that I don't remember the name of, but he actually did a contract with the movie studio to create a corporation that would only pay him $50,000 a year. And it was a lump sum amount that he had the choice to take of $2.7 million and pay 91% of it to the government, or take a $50,000 paycheck over his life. The movie industry actually won on that one because he led a rough life and ended up passing early and was only taking $50,000. So they really didn't end up paying him his full amount. But, you know, we don't need to go back to raising taxes to 70%, 90%. We're not going to end up any better. All that does is start opening up. If you want to know who funded the oil and gas wells back then, it was the movie industry.
Yep.
So they all started saying, hey, we get a write-off for this stuff. Oh, back then, if you remember, limited partnerships, rental real estate was a big one. You could write off those losses.
Horses.
Yeah. So people, all of a sudden, there's all these, and they end up, if they looked at an average, I think in that article they estimated that the average is about 45%. So there's some rhyme and reason to where we are today.
Yes.
That makes sense.
And it is, although it's very complicated, and they make it more complicated by writing more and more and more code in there. It's, it's always been pretty complicated, hasn't it?
It has. And, you know, Dave, I'll date myself a little bit here, is I actually prepared a tax return that was for 1986. The very next year, 1987, as you know, Tax Reform Act of 1986, huge changes.
It was.
Massive. Everybody was scared. The world was going to end. And really all it did was AMT came into play. It complicated lives. It also increased taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Though we dropped from what was the rates higher before that in 86 and prior, they were high rates.
Yeah.
But we actually were trying to drive that to more of who should pay the tax. And now I think we're running into kind of that same thing. We're trying to not equalize it, but make it a more fair system. But with all these lobbyists, with every industry that gets their finger into the pot for some kind of break, it makes it complicated.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's the other thing that we forget often, it certainly doesn't match the narrative for the media today. Is that the top 1% of earners pay something like 35-36% of all the taxes, or is it near 40 now?
I think it's higher, to be honest with you.
It used to be 5% paid 55, because, you know, you use 555, and now it's like 2/3.
Yeah, it's significant.
Yeah.
And I see, kind of back to our earlier comment about what happens when you get above and higher rates? Are they paying tax or are they getting a break? They're fighting not to pay more tax.
Right, because it's a big deal to find a deduction.
Exactly.
It's a very big deal. You know, where we were sitting here, I saw a phone call come in, and it was actually in regards to something like that, where because somebody sent me an incorrect 1099. Well, because I'm one of those successful rapers of the planet employers out there, that's a 50% deal to me.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I'm spending time to get this right, because it matters. It does matter at different levels. So it does. I think that's a very good point that you make. But we have to recognize that. And when we talk about the fairness issue, maybe it's fair on one hand, but that's what people always just naturally assume. The rich get richer. Well, that's because they probably are figuring out some things to do, but the rich pay all the taxes too.
Right.
It's just the way the world works.
Depends what chair you're sitting in, right?
It does. That's for sure. Absolutely. All right. Anything else we should bear in mind in our last couple minutes here? What kind of things should people be doing? Is there anything last minute
that people need to be looking for?
Are you really down, I think, Dave, to IRA decisions, the Roth, the traditional IRA, if you can do it. HSA is another one. The employer, from the employer side, you know, the contribution to a pension plan, if you haven't made it, obviously, is still open for discussion. If you consider that you've had a pretty good year and you want to give a little bit more, there's a deduction there that you could consider. And you'd already kind of made the SEP comment and so forth,
yep.
the small business taxpayer. So there's not a lot, but there are a few things that are still the doors open on.
And the thing is that we're really trying to drive this point home now. It's not that this is a whole lot of stuff you can do now for 18, but there is for 19.
Correct.
So learn this tax season so you don't miss it in 19.
Absolutely.
We got to figure out what you could have, would have, could have, should have done. And so that's what, again, I want to say this too. It just doesn't happen without, in most cases, it doesn't happen without prodding. Prod your accountants to be proactive. What should I be doing when you pick up your tax returns for 18? What should I be doing differently in 19 is a very fair question.
Absolutely.
And people should be looking at that. That's good. All right. So, Dave, thank you very much. I appreciate all your time today and your tax tips.
Hey, thanks for having us.
This is
really
good.
Enjoy being here.
I know we all hate taxes, but this is something we've just got to do. We just got to go do it. That's right. All right. And then also, finally, check it out for meals and entertainment. You were saying earlier that there's some differences there as you're figuring out your taxes. So last-minute things, be sure to find out what those changes potentially are.
Yeah, they'll impact people.
They will.
Yep. So. Have an entertainment non-deductible anymore. But meals are still in that 50%. And, you know, meals for like Christmas parties, business Christmas parties, customer parties. A lot of people thought those had gone away and they were either dropped down to 50%. It's still 100%. There are code sections out there that specifically still state that. So there's been some drama in the world, but there's still some holes in it.
Good. David, thank you.
Appreciate it.